Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So this morning I spoke to you about some forgotten foundations, which are so important when it comes to the Word of God. But I kind of started by talking about something that is so important, and this is where I want to head this evening, sort of elaborate on what I spoke about this morning in the very, very first part. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 3, it says this: I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And then he says this, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20 says this, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What does this all mean? Well, it means a lot of things. The first thing that we need to understand is that the Word of God will come at you in many different ways. And today especially, there's so much being taught. There's so much being given out. But we as believers have to discern what it is that God is saying. What is He really saying in His Word? So Paul says that you shouldn't put your faith in the wisdom of men. In other words, what people necessarily just, everything you hear, everything that you see, even if it sounds very theologically correct. What you need to put your faith in is the power of God. In the power of God. Sometimes I think when we see the word power, we expect supernatural miracles only. And that's a great part of it when it comes to power. But he also goes and he says in Corinthians as well, he says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now, how many of you know that Jesus is the Word? I think that's pretty powerful. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So something happened when Jesus came on this earth. Before he came, the Word was already present and the Word had power. But the Word didn't bring the transformation that we see after Jesus came. See, Jesus brings transformation. Jesus is the Word, but something happened to the Word with Jesus. Let's take a look at another scripture real quick, and then hopefully I'll be able to explain this to you. Acts 10 verse 38. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Now Jesus was the Word. So the Word was on earth. And when the Word was on earth, God did something to Jesus. The Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. So something took place to the Word while it was walking on earth. The Word got baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Word got filled with the Holy Spirit. And what that did was it produced something that brings life. See, before this, the Word was hard. The Word was difficult. The Word seemed impossible to follow. Are you with me? But when the Word came on this earth and Jesus' ministry began, when he was baptized and he came up out of the water and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him like a dove. And the Bible says over there that God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And what was the result of that power? That he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How do you know when God is with someone? Don't put your faith in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. As a Christian, power must be present in your life. Power must be present in your own life. It starts with you. Don't only be hearers of the word, but be doers as well. When the word comes to you, if it's living, if it's alive, and you receive it, it will begin to change your life. The word without the power doesn't produce that healing and doesn't kick devil butt. I love what it says. Went about doing good and healing all. Everybody say all. Who were oppressed by the devil. The kingdom of God is not in word. It's in power. So when the kingdom comes, the kingdom of God comes, if there is any other kingdom present, that kingdom gets destroyed by what? By the power. By the power of God. By the power of His Spirit. By the power of His presence. By the power of His anointing. Oh my goodness, this is difficult. It's okay. So the Bible speaks about how difficult the law was. In fact, the law, that the Bible says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Bible even speaks of how the law was difficult. Now I need to go to another sermon, so just give me 2 minutes. Let me give you an example of this. Okay. Let's go to John 8, and we'll start there. John 8, verse number 1. John 8, verse number 1. Are you guys okay? Okay. Now watch. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. This is a bad woman. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." Now watch, watch what they do. They go to Jesus and they bring the word to him. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. I love him. Don't you just love Jesus? So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw that no one but the woman, he said to her, "Now watch, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Go and sin no more. What the law couldn't do, Jesus could do in an instant. Because he showed her power. It doesn't look like it. Oh, but there's power there. There be power in what he did. Because the only way that this woman could leave that place and go and sin no more was because of the power that was showed to her in that moment. What power? Grace is power. Grace is a form of power that kicks devil butt. Because in that moment, she could have been condemned. She could have been destroyed. But because of his love for her, because of his grace towards her, there was power to set her free, not only from being accused, not only from being stoned, but also to go and sin no more. Don't put your faith in the wisdom of men. Put your faith in the power of God. Where you see God moving, where you see God changing lives, that's where you put your faith. In your own life, what you study, the Word of God must produce something that causes transformation. Does it make sense? When you begin to understand this, when you begin to grasp that the love of God and the power of God goes beyond just, you know, the people always wanted a sign. Give us a sign. Give us a sign so that we can see that you are the Son of God. Give us a sign. Show us a miracle. You know, the Bible says a wicked and perverse generation seek after signs and wonders. But what you don't understand is that when the power of God is working to produce change, true change, the signs and wonders follow anyway. The problem is we're so desperate to go after the signs and the wonders that we miss the point. The point is this, that we should go after the source of the one who produces signs and wonders. Because when the power of God is active in your life, it produces change in you. That change in you will produce change in others. Because that change in you is life-giving. Let me show you another story real quick. Luke 7:37. Let's go there. Luke 7:37. This morning, just take it off for 1 second because they all go and read. This morning I shared with you that one of the keys to walking with God is to know Him. Paul says several times in the New Testament, even Peter says that we should come to the knowledge of God. When we come to the knowledge of God, we will have understanding. We will have revelation. Once we begin to truly know who He is, that's when things will really open up for us. We will begin to see God the way we never saw Him before. Before, you thought God was this mean guy in the clouds with a big stick. But once you truly begin to study the Word, once you truly begin to see God for who He is, and God begins to reveal Himself to you, His nature and His goodness, His mercy and His love, you will see Him completely different to how you ever saw Him before. But when there's power produced because of change, it causes a reaction in us. It causes a reaction even in those who supposedly are the worst. The religious people always want to get theological. I also like to get theological. I like to talk about all kinds of theological stuff, even stuff from books that are written, the book of Enoch, the book of all the different books. I love them all. We can just go. But I cannot do what He does when He's present. What I want to encourage you this morning, this evening, it's morning somewhere. The Africans are watching me. It's almost morning. Amen. I'm not kidding. It really is. It's like 2 a.m. there. You need to go after Him. Once you understand who Jesus is, once you have tasted His power, His mercy, His goodness, something will happen to you that will cause you to change. Watch this. Okay, you can put that scripture up for us, please. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. A sinner, a bad woman. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Wiped the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees had invited him, saw this, he spoke to himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner." What the Pharisees could not do for this woman, he did for her. Amen. What the Pharisees, with all their rules and regulations, listen, and I'm all for rules and regulations, but what they could not do, he could do. Don't look through eyes that look always for the weaknesses and for the sins and for the bad things. Look through eyes of love. Look through his eyes. Look and see. And the Bible says that she took this alabaster box. And this alabaster box, if you study it, was of costly oil. This woman, she probably, all her money, all her wages, possibly for a year, some say longer, was all in this little alabaster box. And she came and she brought it. And this woman here is busy washing, crying at his feet and washing his feet with her hair. Why? Because Jesus produced something that others did not have. What did he have? He had power. He had power. He had power. And because he had power, we know that God was with him. Not only supernatural signs and wonders, power that produces change. Your neighbor, you don't need to go to your neighbor and tell him how bad he is. He already knows. You need to go to him and just be there. Because what will be happening is there's power in you when you're filled with God. There's power in you that will produce change in your neighbor without you saying one word. I've sat in rooms with people and watched them speak and watched the power of God touch them. What am I doing? Nothing. I'm just there. But why is this happening? Because there's power present. Does it make sense, guys? Yes. Are you with me? Yes. If you want this power, if you want this in your life, there is one thing that is necessary. Only one thing. Tonight we sang a song. We all said, "Fill me up, Lord." And some of us are so passionate, you know. Fill me up. In order for you to be filled up, you first need to be empty. Empty of what? Empty of yourself. Why was Moses so special? Well, who says Moses was special? I think he was pretty special. Why was he special? In the beginning, when God meets Moses for the first time, what's so amazing is that Moses is so afraid of God. And he even says to God, you know, "Who should I say that you are?" And God says, "I am that I am." And then Moses goes and he performs all these miracles by the hand of God. All these miracles. God goes with Moses into the wilderness with the children of Israel, delivers the children of Israel. God's on the mountain, gives Moses the law. God has major encounters with Moses. Eventually, God gets so tired of the children of Israel that he basically says this. He says, "I'm tired of these stiff-necked people. I'm going to send my angel before you, and he will defeat all your enemies for you. Some of us would be like, yes. Yes, God, you're going to open blind eyes. You're going to deliver people. You're going to do this stuff, and there's just going to be power and anointing and hallelujah. But Moses makes a statement to God. He says this. He says, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. If you don't go with us, I don't want to go. You see, God was with Jesus of Nazareth. True power in you will be far more than signs, wonders, and miracles. That's good. We want that. We like that. But it's going to be in you that will produce change. It will be in you that will cause you to be hungry and thirsty for God. Moses would not go, even though he would have had everything he needed to overcome. He would not go without God. The question is, you lift your hands and you say, fill me up, God. But how desperately do you really want him? It's a real question. How desperately do you really want God? How desperately do you really want to walk in his power? If you really want to walk in his power, that power must start in your own life. Not with a desire to be the man with the power for the hour, but rather for it to begin to produce power from within you, in your own life. That change will be everything everyone around you needs for change to begin to take place in their own lives. The power and the love of God.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.